Good morning and welcome to worship at St. Matthew's on this beautiful Sunday. Pastor is away this week again. We will be using service of the word. He will be back next week, hopefully well refreshed and raring to go. We thank you, Sheila, again for playing for us. Lily expects to be back by the end of the month. Also, Diane and Marilyn have our golf tournament tickets for sale. Right? Well, yeah, you can get them after the service. I hope lots of you come. It's the proceeds will go towards our parking lot. The sermon today is written by Pastor Melissa Brooks from Saskatchewan. She has this to say. Several years ago, I attended a preaching conference in Denver, Colorado. It was hosted amongst these beautiful, impressive, historic churches in downtown Denver. And I was so excited to take in presentations from some of North America's best preachers, writers, and theologians. It was amazing to be part of lectures and worship with such a huge group of people who were also seeking more effective ministry and deeper faith. Because the crowd of attendees had sort of taken over the area surrounding the churches, a ministry that provided meals to the local homeless population had been temporarily moved down the block for that week. Uh-oh, already. At one point, I was sitting in a lecture by a theologian named Diana Butler Bass. She had just put out a book called Grounded, and she was speaking about how our worldwide worldview as a society is changing and how that helps us to see God all around us. Stretching out into the world like a horizon, not just a distant God who is somewhere up in heaven. As she was elaborating on one of her points, a clearly disgruntled older man with raggedy clothes and a grizzled beard appeared in the doorstep of the worship space. Whoop. I assumed that he was part of the presentation, but as he made his way up the aisle of the church, it became clear that his presence there was a surprise to all of us. He was clearly not happy as he strode up the chancel area and began chastising the gathered lecture participants. He motioned to the large screens used for the presentation, and using language I can't repeat, he expressed his frustration that such a costly conference would be hosted by the church when there were hungry people outside on the street. "I'm starving to death," he yelled. If there's one thing that mainline church folk hates, it's awkward social situations, and this was awkward. I froze in my seat, watching things unfold. Most of the clergy in the pews were stunned. A few people pulled out some leftover food from their lunch bags and held it out into the aisle. Grabbing it angrily as he passed by, the man was escorted out of the presentation, where he was offered the fruit and baked goods, which were set aside for coffee break, which he declined and then strode out onto the street. Diane Butler Bass paused for a moment, then responded, "Our God is the God in the city, and it's wonderful." She led us in prayer together, asking that our hearts would be open to those who are in need, and that we would be willing to share with those who are hungry. But the truth is, as we were praying, I was hoping that my heart wouldn't be too open. In fact, a part of me didn't want to locate the presence of my heart at all. Truthfully, all I wanted to do that afternoon was enjoy a thoughtful presentation, have a nice supper, and go to sleep in a soft bed that night. I had paid money, maybe too much money, for all of those things, and I darn well intended enjoying them. And I doubt that my heart was in a terribly different place from a lot of the people there. Over 2,000 years, Jesus clearly instructed us and gave us the freedom to live outside of a system that stratifies people into rich and poor, to give what we have away for the sake of his kingdom's treasure, and to be a community of contrast, centered in him and concerned first and foremost with promoting the well-being of our neighbors. We have had ample time to process his message and to work up the courage to live it out. We have great stories from the book of Acts of a church who gives up its treasure and finds its heart. But the radical lifestyle of the early church seems so far removed from what we would be comfortable with that it can feel like a story and not the very real manifestation of the kingdom Jesus promises to his little flock. And so, Christ showed up to remind us that different reality is possible, and we passed him half a sandwich and a bag of chips and showed him the door, then shivered as he left, because it felt like a thief had snuck in amongst us. Christ gives us images in today's reading that help us describe the way we experience his presence in the world. He can be like our master coming home to us, treating us like no human master ever treated a slave, caring for us, serving, and honoring us. Or he can be a thief, dangerous, ready to break in at an unsuspected time. But how we live, the orientation of our hearts, changes how we are able to receive him when he comes to us. I am a lot happier to see a police officer when I am being mugged than when I am speeding down the highway. I am a lot happier to welcome Jesus when I'm sharing bread and wine around the altar than when I am confronted by a hungry neighbor. Either way, whether Christ showing up gives rise to feelings of joy or conviction, have no fear, little flock. Regardless of how we are prepared to receive him, he comes in love for us and for the world. He has come to us and given himself without holding anything back, given his life to amend for our own stinginess, and he continues to welcome us into the resurrected life he offers. The good life God dreams for us, the kingdom which cannot be destroyed or taken away. And when we are intimidated by how radical this gospel is, when the world insists to us that the way things are is the only way, and speaks words of ambition and punishment and self-preservation, we don't have to rely on what we find inside our own begrudging hearts. Instead, we look to Christ, who is leading us, who is coming back to totally fulfill the work he has started. So let's dare one another to pray that we will be bold to live as a community where love takes precedence over all else, and that our hearts would be filled with the life-giving gospel of Christ. And when Christ shows up, which he has and does and will again, let's pray that we will be waiting for him, quick to open the door to the treasure and transformation of his blessing.